Brethren, let's go back now to 2 Corinthians 4. I was so moved by this after I finished working on the other message, or I kind of came upon this as I was working on the other message. And so I knew I really wanted to preach this in conjunction with that message. And what it is I want to deal a little bit more with the context of why Paul has been writing the things he's been writing in 2 Corinthians. He began several chapters back, and he began declaring why we preach and why we preach only Christ. Why we preach and why we preach only Christ. The first thing he said is, thanks be unto God who always causes us triumph. He makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place we preach, whether people believe it or not. He said, that's why we preach Christ. Because God makes us triumph in Christ through this gospel. And he said, that's because we don't corrupt the Word of God as many do, but we preach Christ only. And then he said, the reason that we preach Christ is because we've been made by God able ministers of the new covenant, and the new covenant is so much more glorious than the old covenant. That's why we preach Christ, because all the covenant's in Him, and this new covenant is so much more glorious than that old covenant. And he said, and the reason we preach, and the reason we preach Christ crucified, is because the Spirit uses the Word to show us Christ and to change His people into His image. And he said, that's how we're not commending ourselves, he said. He said, this is how we're commended to you as a true preacher of the gospel. God writes His Word on your heart. So that's why we preach. Because God made us ministers for that purpose. And He sent us forth to preach only Christ the Lord. And then he says this in 2 Corinthians 4, 5. He said, so our one means and our one message is the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Then in verse 6, he declared the reason we preach and why we only preach Christ. This is how we came to know Christ and why we only preach Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And now in verse 7, he declares why God is pleased to reveal Christ through the preaching of the gospel using earthen vessels to preach it. You see, everything he's declaring is why we preach and why we preach Christ. And I'll show you towards the end of the message why he's declaring this. It was very needful. But he says here now, this is why God's pleased to use the means of preaching and the message of Christ crucified to reveal Christ in the hearts of His people and to use earthen vessels, just sinners, saved by grace, to do the preaching. This is why he's pleased to do it. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There's the reason. I've titled this, that the power be of God. That's the reason. That's the reason God chose to preach, have us preach the gospel of Christ and use the means of preaching. That's the reason that he chose to use earthen vessels to preach Christ, that the power might be of God and not of us. This is what I want you to see. We preach Christ crucified because those who have experienced the power of God that we just looked at in verse 6, those that have experienced this power of God know that only God can work this power in others. And we know that it pleased God to do so through the preaching of Christ. We know it because that's the means He used to do it to us. If he's done this, this is the means he did it by. To deny that is to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Because the purpose is that the power be of God and not of us. First of all, we have this treasure. We have this treasure. Now, when God shines in our hearts, He gives the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the treasure we have. Within us, we have this treasure. We have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's given that to us. That's the treasure within us. Go over to 2 Peter 1. Hold your place here. And I want you to listen to Peter talk about these things. He said there in 2 Peter 1:1, he said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, through the gospel, by making us behold the glory of God in Christ, God makes us servants. He makes us His servants. He gives you the heart of a servant. Isn't that a great treasure that God gives? We have this treasure. We've been made the heart, have given the heart of a servant. And He says, and God's given us like precious faith in Christ Jesus our Lord with a multitude of brethren. What a precious treasure faith in Christ is. This is the faith He gives to all His saints. And He's made us His new creation through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's done this through Christ, through the righteousness of God, our Savior. And He's made us the righteousness of God, our Savior. We know that now through this gospel. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, how do we get that knowledge? Paul said, through the preaching of the gospel. We preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Christ and our crucified because God shined the light in our hearts to reveal this knowledge. And He's done it. He's used, put this in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power be of God, not of us. He said, this is why we preach. So through the gospel, God gave us the treasure of God's grace and God's peace. That's how we have peace. We behold Christ the Lord. As Brother Scott just said, He made us behold Him. When we're too busy and we're looking at other things and we're not attending the preaching of His Word and going home and studying the Word and hearing the gospel declared, brethren, we lose that peace. And we're not very gracious, are we? This grace and this peace is multiplied. We're growing it through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The way He gave it to us the first time is how He grows us in it, through the knowledge of Christ. And then verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. You see, through this same preaching, by God's divine power, now get that, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He made us, making us to behold Christ, and to have to see the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ through the gospel, He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How's He going to continue to do that? How's He going to continue to grow us and make us see that it's by looking to Christ and hearing Him declare in His gospel that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness? It's going to be through hearing this word preached over and over. Same way you began it. Same way He did it. Look here now, verse 4. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Through the preaching of the gospel, making us behold His covenant glory in Christ, God's given us all those exceeding great and precious promises. Christ is that covenant. We behold the Lord God, the covenant Lord God, in all these great and precious promises because He's made us behold Christ. And by Christ, the light shining in our hearts, He's created a new heart within us so that we've been made a partaker of the divine nature now. And by doing so, we've escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. He subdued your old man and increased that new man in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you've escaped the corruptions of this world through lust. Now look at this. Verse 5 says, and besides this, what does that mean? Well, God's given us an earnest desire. If He's preached this gospel to us in our hearts and made us to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ, He's given us an earnest desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And so, He's taught us by using this means of His gospel to give all diligence and to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. For if these things be in you and abound, here's what He's saying. They prove that you're not unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been grown in this grace through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all this treasure we have, brethren, is by Christ's light shining into our hearts and God making us to behold the light of Christ, the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, does anybody wonder then why God's preacher only preaches Christ and Him crucified? If this treasure is what we've received by through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified, you know what we're going to want to preach? Christ and Him crucified. Because we know this is how God's going to continue to grow us in that grace and knowledge of Christ, is through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. And everybody that's ever seen Christ through this gospel feels the same exact way. I came here to hear Christ. Everything I need that pertains to life and godliness, I'm going to get through the knowledge of Christ. Preach Christ to me. Preach Christ to me. This is how He's given us all things. Brother Kevin, can you turn that air, make it hotter, just a little hotter. Secondly, now, because He's done that work in us, go back to 2 Corinthians 4:7. Now, we know something about ourselves. Because we have this treasure now, we know something about ourselves that we didn't know before. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. In earthen vessels. You know, the Apostle Paul thought he had knowledge of God once. Go look at Philippians 3. Paul thought he had knowledge of God once. And he was sincere in everything he did. He thought he had knowledge of God. But his so-called knowledge was doing one thing, giving him confidence in his flesh. That's what his so-called knowledge was, confidence in his flesh. He said in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other thinketh that he hath whereof to glory, that he might trust in whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, he said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. He said, I was circumcised. My mother and father circumcised me the eighth day. He said, I was of the stock of Israel. I was an Israelite of the flesh. Not only that, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, the special tribe. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, hold your place there. He said, I had confidence in my flesh, in all my power, and that's what we had, brethren. So this light was made to shine in our heart. That's all we had. We looked to this vain world's religion. We looked to our own learning and thought that we had great knowledge thereby. And do you think when Paul was deceived, the heart's deceitful above all things, do you think Paul thought he was lost? No, Paul didn't think he was lost. He thought he knew God. We tried to make ourselves judges of doctrine by learning and studying doctrine. That's not how you come to discern doctrine. That's not how we come to know true doctrine. Read that article I put in the bulletin. I'll say it again. The Pharisees thought that. And the Lord Jesus said, if you do the will of God, what's the will of God? You believe on Him whom He sent. believe on Christ. He said, you do the will of God, and then you'll know the doctrine. See, what has to happen is this light has got to be shined in our heart by God, giving us an understanding of His glory in the face of Christ. And He does that through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. And then we'll discover, I'm just an earthen vessel. So everything I had confidence in is wrong. We thought we made ourselves righteous and holy by our obedience, and we tried to browbeat it into others. We tried to force our doctrine on people and force them to understand what we know and force them to do like we do and walk like we walk. That was so whether we knew whether the doctrine we were forcing was true doctrine or false doctrine. We were trying to force it on folk. And when Christ made His light to shine, we realized all our confidence was in our flesh. Every bit of it. And because we had all this confidence in our flesh and we're trying to make converts ourselves, if somebody rejected us, if we heard the truth preached, or they rejected us because of our way, you know what we did? We persecuted them, just like Paul did the church. But what did Paul find out? And how did he find it out? Here's what he learned. Here's what we learned, and here's how we learned it. Philippians 3:7. What things were gained to me? Those things I counted loss for Christ. He's made to see Christ. He's made to see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for what? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What did God do when He shined in our hearts? Paul said, we preach Christ and Him crucified for one reason. For God hath shined in our hearts. And He's given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And when He did this, we realized we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The power's of God, not of us. So what do we want now? What do we desire and seek after now? The excellency of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to know more of Him. Why? It's for Him that I've suffered the loss of all these things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. What does that mean? That which is through Christ the light, coming to me through the gospel and shining this light in my heart and giving me this knowledge. The faithful Christ, by Him faithfully doing that for me. So that then I might have the righteousness which is of God by faith, by believing on Christ. It's by the faithful Christ, the faith of Christ, that I've given faith in Christ. I want that knowledge of Christ, that I might know Him. That's what I want. I want to know Him. But I thought you knew Him. I do. I want to know Him more. And I want to know the power. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the power of God. I want to know Him and know His power so that I know the fellowship of His sufferings and I'm made conformable unto His death. You see, when God in all His great power gives a true knowledge by revealing Christ in us, that's when we find out that we're just helpless, earthen vessels. And we have no power. And nothing we've ever done, we might have even said, vainly saying in false humility, oh, I'm just an earthen vessel. We might have even said that. But I'm telling you, when God shines His light in your heart, it's not just something you say. It's not just something you've learned. It's not just a doctrine anymore. Everything is real. Christ is real. God's glory is real. My redemption is real. And my depravity is real. I see what I am now. And I know it. And now everything that I once thought was knowledge, everything I thought the world was so wise, said, boy, they must really have some knowledge. Build a big old building like that and have all that many people in the cars in the parking lot. I will find out what tactics they're using. All the things I thought was knowledge is just ignorance to me now. It's just ignorance to me now. I want one thing. I want the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That's what I want. And I'll tell you what, when He does this work through the means that pleases Him, this preaching of the Word, you know what He's going to do? He's going to break our heart. He's going to break our heart. Christ said, believe on me and take my yoke upon you. What does that mean? He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What does that mean? It means we're going to quit bucking against how God says we are going to be saved. And we're going to believe on Christ. And we're going to slip His yoke on us. And we're going to start submitting to how God says He saves sinners. And now we're going to be happy to be taught of Christ, about Christ, through the means God has been pleased to reveal Christ. And I tell you what, that's the only kind of people God uses. Turn over to Isaiah 66:1. He uses these broken vessels. These vessels He's broken and given a broken heart, He uses them to build His house. That's right. He uses them to preach His gospel, and through that gospel, God does this work in the hearts of others, and He builds His house. It's the only kind of man He looks to do this work through. Isaiah 66:1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where's the house that you're going to build to me? Where's the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made. You see, isn't this just like us, you know? What have you built me? Where's the house you've built me? And if lost in our sin, we'll go, well, look at this house we built for you. And look at that parking lot we built for you. Look at the pews we've got set up here. And look at all the people that are here. And look at all these things that we've done for you. We built this for you. He said, I made all that. You ain't created anything. I made all that. You see, this new creation is a total new creation God makes out of nothing. So how's He going to do it? Who's He going to use to do that? Not folks that's bragging about how they built Him a house. Look here. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. See, that's the spirit of Christ that He puts in us. And that's the kind of person He uses to build His house. And that's when we'll submit to God using His ordained means, which pleases God. Go back there to Colossians 1. Do you see this? Colossians 1. That's when we'll submit to God using and submit and use the ordained means that pleases God. God said it pleased Him by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. When we go submit to that, when we experience God's power through the gospel, then verse 9, this is what happens to us. This is what happens. This is what continues to happen to us through the gospel. Look there. He says, this cause we bow, since the day we heard of your faith, we don't cease to pray for you and desire. Right here. This is what God begins to do with us in the first hour. This is what He continues to do. He fills us with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He makes us knowledgeable of His will in all spiritual knowledge. That's what He does in spiritual understanding. Why does He do it? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And I know it doesn't just mean this, but part of what it means is you're going to bow to whatever is pleasing to God, such as the foolishness of preaching. Look, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is how He's going to increase you in the knowledge of God. Through what we're doing right here today, God's going to speak into the heart and keep increasing you in the knowledge of Him. And He makes you fruitful in this knowledge by submitting to what's pleasing to Him. Look, strengthened with all His might by His power, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, because you've beheld God's long-suffering, the glory of His long-suffering, how He was long-suffering with you while you were in all your rebellion, thinking we were some hotty-totty walking around trying to force our religion on other people. And all the while, God was being long-suffering with us and patient with us till He revealed Christ in us. Now He says, you're going to be long-suffering and patient with others. Doing what? Waiting on God's power to reveal this in them through His gospel. Look, and Paul, Scott read this, so I won't read it, but we do this giving thanks to the Father. Because He made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light by shining the light in our heart. And we rejoice in Christ because He delivered us from the power of darkness. He's the light that delivers us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His Son, the kingdom of light. And we have redemption in Him and forgiveness of sins. This, look at who He is, down at verse 15. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He's that one in whom we behold the visible image of the invisible God. And He's the firstborn who makes us His new creation. That's what we saw in last hour in verse 6. Let me illustrate why God uses earthen vessels, or how He uses earthen vessels. Do you remember Gideon and that little army of Gideon's? God kept whittling that army down and whittling that army down and whittling that army down until there was just hardly anybody left. And He said, now then, now you go forth and fight this big host of all these enemies. Well, if He's whittled us down to that small a group, you've got to be thinking, surely He's going to give us some mighty weapon. He did. He's given us a mighty weapon. He said, you take in one hand a pitcher, an earthen vessel. And in that vessel is a lamp. There's a light in that vessel that's shining. And in the other hand, you take a trumpet. And they surrounded that big host, that big army. And you know what they did with that earthen vessel that had the light in it? It was a lamp. It had a light in it, and it was an earthen vessel. You know what they did with that earthen vessel? They smashed it in pieces. They broke it. Why? So that the light would shine forth. And as they did that, they blew the trumpet. Loud as they could blow the trumpet. You see, God's put light in us. He's put the light of Christ in His people. But He's made us a broken earthen clay pot, just a broken vessel, so that it's not our light shining, it's Christ's light shining. And the way it's shining is by us blowing the trumpet, proclaiming Christ the Lord. That's what it is to be an earthen vessel. This whole thing has to do with the preaching of the cross. Why do we do it that way? For the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved and being saved, it is the power of God. That's why. The man that this is foolishness to thinks he's the power. Something he did's the power. But the man unto whom the preaching of the gospel is precious, it's precious to us because we know this is the power of God unto salvation. This is how He reveals Christ, the power of God, through the preaching of the power of God. Now, lastly, that's the reason that God uses the means of preaching through broken clay pots, is that the power might be of God. He says there that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's why. See, so we're broken. And broken by this means. We won't delight in this means. And we won't rejoice that it's the power of God. And that all the power is of God. We just won't. We just will not. He said up in 1 Corinthians 2:1, Paul said, I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now later he's going to say, now, I'm telling you, that is wisdom. What I preach to you is wisdom. It's the wisdom of God. He said, but when I came before you, what you heard naturally with your ear, you didn't hear excellency of speech. You didn't hear wisdom. And I didn't use any kind of fleshly excellency of speech or any fleshly wisdom. All I did was preach Christ and Him crucified. Why? He said this, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'll illustrate the demonstration of Spirit and power to you. You may illustrate it for you. The demonstration of the Spirit and power is this. When God told Gideon and his army to go forth with nothing but the weapon being an earthen vessel with a lamp in it and a trumpet, and they actually went forth and broke that vessel and just blew that trumpet, That was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. They did what God told them to do. And that when you hear a man stand up and preach Christ and Him crucified, I'm not talking about on Easter and Christmas. I'm talking about every time he stands in the pulpit. That's the demonstration of God's Spirit and power. God's making him do that. And when people come week in and week out, week in and week out, to hear that message preached and delight in nothing but that message preached, that's the demonstration of God's Spirit and power. Because we're just a bunch of earthen vessels. And this is why we preach this message and why we delight to support this message, verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, when you're younger in the faith, when you have no faith, when you don't know God at all, about the only thing you'll get out of a message is the illustrations. If they're just worldly illustrations, you know, you'll get something out of that. And that'll be what you remember. That'll be what you take away from it. Some earthly illustration that was used to support a spiritual truth. But as you grow in grace, you like those spiritual illustrations, those earthly illustrations to illustrate spiritual things, but you just don't have to have them. I just as much, or rather, you just turn to the Scriptures and show me what the Word says. That'll delight my heart more than anything. You see what I'm saying? This is because the power of God has done that. It's not a man that's going to be able to make you hear. It's the power of God that makes you hear. Go to Ephesians 1, 17. What are we wanting folks to hear? Why do we not want them to stand in the wisdom of men? I could give you so many earthly illustrations and make you think you believe God, and it'd just be standing in my power, in my wisdom, rather than the power of God. I want you to stand in the power of God. This is what all his true preachers want. Look at this. This is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians, and this is what we want for everybody. And when I say us, I'm talking about me preaching and you supporting this gospel. And I'm going down to Crossville next week to preach at Crossville that morning, and then, Lord willing, go preach that evening at Kingsport. And that's us going there. I couldn't go there without you. That's us going there. And the reason you won't the message preached that I'm preaching right here is because this is what we want our hearers to hear right here. Look here, Ephesians 1:17. We're wanting this to be done. We're wanting the God, Ephesians 1:17, we're wanting the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, to give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Who's going to give it? God, our Lord Jesus, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. That's what we saw in verse 6. God who commanded the light shine in our heart. We want Him to do it. To do what? Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you might have the knowledge. That you might know what? Number one, what is the hope of His calling? That you might wait for the hope of righteousness through faith in Christ. That's the hope of His calling, to wait on the hope of righteousness, not through our works, through faith in Christ. That's what I want for my hearers. Number two, I want you to know what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. This is the riches of His glory that's in the saints, that assures us of the inheritance. What is that? What's the rich treasure we have in us? He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's the treasure. All these things I've been talking about that is the treasure is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to know the riches of Christ by Christ being in you so that you have this hope of glory. And thirdly, here's how I want you to experience all this. I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. I want you to know that the same power that made you and me believe is the power, is the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. That's the power it takes. See, I can't raise a dead sinner. I can't create. He's not even raising a dead sinner in the new birth. He's creating a new man in the new birth out of nothing. Who? You know why men don't think that the account in the Bible of creation is true? You know why they don't? You know why men don't think in the beginning God created the heavens and earth? Because me and you have never created anything. That's why. And by nature, if we can't do it, we don't think it can be done. Isn't that so? But you know why believers rejoice in it? Because we see what God's done to us and made something out of nothing, created something out of nothing. So I guarantee you this, creating the heavens and the earth and all things therein wasn't near as hard. And it cost near as much as it did to create me a new person in Christ. It cost His precious blood to do that. And I want you to know that power. It's the power of the righteousness of Christ. It's the power of justice satisfied. It's the power of His precious blood. It's the power of God's holiness that declares everybody He justified must be raised from the dead. That's the power. Not to mention the sheer power itself that it takes to do it. I want you to know that power. So through the means of gospel preaching, brethren, God in power reveals His glory in Christ and He makes His generated child know this. We have a great rich treasure. Christ our Lord and all blessings in Him. He makes us to know this. He makes us to know that we're only earthen vessels. No power's in us. So that all we're supposed to do is preach Christ and Him crucified. That's all. That's all. Whether I'm a preacher or whether I'm in the pulpit or the pew, my job is to hold forth Christ the Lord. That's it. That's it. And He makes us to know that the excellency of the power is of God and it's not of us. Now, go back with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and look at verse 2. When He's done all this to you, what you going to do? Let's review just a minute. Here's what it'll make you do. Verse 2, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. How do you do that? Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. How come you do that? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. You see, Paul experienced that power through Christ Himself coming to him and preaching Christ Himself. Christ came in person and preached Christ to Paul. Paul knew about this power of the gospel being preached to him. And behold, in Christ, he was changed into that image. And he was taught to follow Christ and to follow this way that appealed to God and pleases God. And he was made fruitful to do it. And so you know what Paul knew? This means and this message works. Isn't that right? When do you know something works? When you've experienced it. And when you've experienced it, you know this is the means and the message that works. It works. And so he knew that. Let me give you one more illustration. I know you're weary. I'm going to let you go. What Psalm 136:8 says is, God gave the sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. And it says, and the moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. Remember Christ said, I'm the light of the world. While I'm here, it's the day. When I'm gone, it's going to be night, Christ said. Well, the sun in the sky is the light that God put in the sky to rule the day. Christ is the sun of righteousness. When He ruled, when He walked this earth, He was the light of this world. He's the one personally giving light to men in this world. Not that He's not still the light in glory, but He's, like He said, when He left, now it's, we're in the night season now. Well, where do you see the light at night? From the moon and the stars. And they're not the light. They just reflect the light of the sun. That's all they do. Well, you know what He calls His people and His preachers in Revelation? The stars in His hand. That's where we are, the stars of His hand. We don't have the light. Christ is the light. We simply reflect the light that Christ shines into this dark night right now. And that's what He's put us here for. And we do it by preaching His Word. And so that's why Paul is declaring throughout this that the necessary, the importance of preaching the gospel. Here's why. Well, We're going to see this as we go. He doesn't stop declaring this all the way through 2 Corinthians. And we find out later why he's doing it. False preachers, Satan was using false preachers, making them look like ministers of righteousness, to deceive and beguile the brethren at Corinth, and he was leading some of them away from hearing the gospel preached. That's why. And Paul starts where he had one weapon and he knew where he needed to start. He started declaring Christ by declaring why we preach Christ through this gospel. You see what he's doing? He's accomplishing two things. He's preaching Christ and at the same time declaring it's this means of preaching Christ that God's going to reveal Christ. So he's showing them the importance of staying under the preaching of the gospel that they might grow in the knowledge of Christ. That's why he's doing this all the way through. That's why, you wonder why he spent so much time dealing with this. I mean, he's been dealing with this since chapter 2. It's because of that reason. He wanted to see them grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he knew how they do, how it's going to happen. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellency of the power. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. If he wasn't talking about preaching of the gospel, why did he mention that? Because it's through the earthen vessels that the gospel is preached. And we have it this way, by God's ordained means, that the power, the excellency of the power that gives the excellency of the knowledge of Christ might be of God and not of us. You see what I'm saying? This is as much delighting in the power of God as delighting in what he accomplished by his power at the cross. I'm talking about him saving through the preaching of the word. Because this is how he makes the power known. See that? We do it that the power may be of God. God now shine, and God use this power and make us to believe him and submit to his yoke and learn of him. I pray that. Amen. We'll rise in prayer, and then Brother Arthur and the ladies will play us a closing hymn and lead us in a song. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for choosing a means to reveal Christ the light in your people that will give us no glory, that gives you all the glory for your power. Lord, thank you that you chose nobodies to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh shall glory in your presence, but that he that glories shall glory only in the Lord. Thank you for being the one who of God puts us in Christ and reveals Christ unto us. And Lord, we're thankful that you chose a means that requires us to keep constantly united together, assembled together under the preaching of your word, so that we constantly are encouraged to provoke one another to this good work of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but to do it even more as we see the day of Christ approaching. Lord, you've promised it's going to get darker and darker and darker before Christ comes. That means we're going to need to assemble and hear this power preached more and more and more as the day approaches. Give us hearts now, Lord, never to forsake you, never to forsake your people, never to forsake your gospel. We thank you, Lord, for Christ our light, Christ your glory, and this means you've given to declare him. Forgive us, Lord, for doubting you. Forgive us forgive us for the times when, Lord, we just don't attend to your message and your preaching. Make us know Christ is preaching. And make us truly delight to be with your people. We ask this, Lord, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, Brother Art.